Welcome to the Wealth Builders Blueprint Podcast with Gary Etienne and Maria Diaz, two licensed loan officers who share the ins and outs of acquiring wealth through real estate. They'll show you how to buy your first home, even if you have bad credit, help you save time and money with tips like gift funds, appraisal waivers, and more. It's time to unlock the door to your financial future with Gary and Maria.
Nice.
Hey. Thank you for joining us at Wealth Builders Blueprint. You like that intro?
Man, that was nice, man. It had me pumped. I was like, all right, I might need to buy a home for these guys.
Yeah, fresh off the presses, you know?
Oh, that's nice.
But I appreciate you being here. Israel Martinez, a good friend of mine for many years through the real estate industry. We're going to go over a couple of topics regarding that new decision from NAR, the settlement, and it taking place in July, stuff like that. We'll definitely go deeper in that and see how it affects you as an agent, buyer's agent, listing agent. But before we even go there, Israel, I know you for a long time, but some of my listeners may not. Tell me where you started. How did you start? Why real estate? And why an agent?
Why an agent? So where I started, pretty much the year I started about 10, 11 years ago. And the reason why I actually started because, I mean, look, I was a retail manager for a very long time, almost hitting 20, if you think about it. And I decided that I needed to control my time, control my level of work, level of productions. I could only fire myself when you really think about it. And at the end of the day, you know, it becomes to a point that you actually, the amount of work you put in, you know, it's really a uncapped potential of how much money you can earn and how much stuff you put in. So the more hard work you put in, the more you'll get out of it. And I didn't realize that in the beginning. Obviously, looking at shows and seeing all these big players doing all these great numbers, I'm like, wait a minute, I could do the same. But it's not as easy, but it is a fun portion to be in. I'm actually here. Like I said, it's Remix has been there for a while. And working with a lot of residential families, trying to find them homes. So my goal every year is to try to help out at least 25 families and work my way up in those numbers.
So I remember our special meeting told me you transcended from a retail, right? So did you feel like a retail set you up a little bit for success in real estate or correlated a little bit?
Well, I mean, the good thing about retail is that I was a manager for a very long time. So I learned how to do two things on there. I learned how to be a coach and become a coach, from others, you know, pretty much be a coachable person. And at the same time, with the customer service that I was dealing with, from different angles, different aspects, from nice to not nice to let me get my discounts. Right. With those angles or those degrees of customer service, it definitely helped me out to pretty much transcend every person that I speak to, every person I work with, get the most highest experience through me every single time.
Okay. So you're in an urban city in New York. You're based at, high tension real estate, right? Out of Queens. And are you mostly listing side, buyer side, a little bit of both, 60-40? Tell us a little bit about your business.
So as far as the beginning of the business, it was always starting off with the rentals, and then you work on your way to your buyers. I feel like I had to promote myself per years things gone by. I'm actually a little bit more balanced when it comes to that at this moment of how things are coming along. I do deal with both buyers and sellers. I do a lot in my area. There's a lot of co-ops, a lot of condos, but I am very familiar with the houses. I am very familiar with the commercial as well. But it's really, those are my sort of what we call the niche, right, which is the co-ops and condos. And, where I live, there's a lot of inundated buildings out here that actually are all based on co-ops and condos. And it's a great entry to be in for that.
Okay. So when you saw this NAR settlement, you know, it's been happening for a while, you know, different, the lawsuit and everything else. Let me digress. So the NAR settlement officially came in a couple of days ago, maybe a week or so ago, and implemented in July. but it's basically saying that, you know, listing agents, when they're listing a home, are not allowed to put the compensation that they're going to be giving the buyer's agent, or if any,
right,
buyer's agent right compensation, right?
Right.
So that's the real gist of it. The amount right and money amount, we leave that to the lawyers, let them get rich. But, you know,
that's one way of looking at it, right?
Right. On our end, it's really more or less, okay, how is this going to affect our business, and how are we going to be able to really, you know, be there for our clients and have them be, you know, forefront beneficial from this, right? Or not right get hurt from these new laws coming in. So on the listing side, how do you see, you know, what was your first initial reaction to it when you heard it?
So I was slightly confused because, I mean, from the beginning, when it first yeah started, right? So I was a little confused on it because, you know, when you hear experts and where they're yeah getting their sources, you know, mm-hmm, everybody had a different version of what's going on. And then yeah as it progressed, it just, like, it felt like the story just kept changing and changing and changing mm-hmm and changing, right? But at the end of the day, once it actually settled in and once it became now more fruition of what's really going on as far as decoupling the commission,
mm-hmm,
you know, it made sense to me. It made sense to the idea of, you know, fine, if you don't want us, you know, sharing what we're going to be earning, you know, after a while, it's like, sure, you know, I'm willing to work with anybody still, but I don't need to, you know, show you what you're going to earn, you know. And I think what happens is that, you know, with our MLSs, when you start looking at how much you're going to earn, it really changes the shift or the services that what some people will do.
Yeah.
And I'm a little, you know, I'm okay with that. I'm happy that, look, you're here for a service anyways. You're here to provide service for the clients that you work with. So as a listing agent, you have full control. You got to understand, these are the commissions you have. This is your sellers. Now your fiduciary obligations mm-hmm is to help the sellers. Boom. If you claim to be a buyer's agent now you have the fiduciary to handle the buyers.
Yeah.
And that, these are things that as an agent, if you don't have the ability to balance both or at least know how to work each and every one of them, I think it's time to practice.
Yeah,
you know, practice
yeah
your craft, practice your presentations, practice your words. And at the end of the day, it becomes really hard for anyone who's, if you haven't done so yet, start doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Start doing it.
Yeah, right. Because when you first, you know, the natural progression of it is when you first come in is, yeah, do those renters, you know, do the buyers right after that, and of course listings. But it's really more or less of, okay, are we getting it done? Are we actually learning from the process? Or are we just getting the family members that want to do a couple of loans a year and not really want to pay us?
Yes.
You know, we're brand right new. And, you know, we'll stay away from listings. We don't have to be a salesperson. We don't have to be a craft. We don't have to get better or actually show our value too much. Right.
Exactly.
We get those one or two deals a year. So, I think with this, we'll definitely see a lot of realtors that are not having practiced the craft leave the business. And the new ones won't know yeah any better. So they'll just do it the way it now is. Right.
Right. So, well, I mean, not only that, I mean, now it comes to the point of now buyers, you know, for those who are so used to the sellers paying for the commission, so on and so forth, yeah, they'll actually get a buyer agent who's willing to work, you know, who's willing to do, you know, the grind for them, who's willing to find the things that they need to find. And honestly, yeah, that's, you know, at the end of the day, that's what you really want. You're looking for a broker who's yeah going to take care of that for you.
And it actually makes sense, right? It's like, if we didn't know the old way of doing things, it should be like, all right, you're working as a buyer's agent. I should get paid from that buyer. Ultimately, we all know the buyer doesn't do anything. Nobody gets paid, right? But
absolutely,
at the end of the day, you know, you're representing that buyer, whether it be that house or another house, and you know how much you're going to get paid, right?
Yep.
And that listing agent should know how much they're going to get paid and vice versa. So I think it's a natural, it's supposed to be this way. It looks like it should have been this way from the beginning, right?
For a very long time. Yeah, for a very long time. It should have been this way. Yeah. And I think that's good. It's going to be a rude awakening for a lot of folks out there. For me, when I first heard about it, I'm like, I don't even know what's going on. I'm just going to keep working until you give me the notice, and then I have to now sort of pivot myself and figure things out. But you know, I think you asked earlier, it's like in the sense of what are people going to do? You know, what is going to happen? What's going to be their natural progression at this point? And honestly, it goes back to the point of speak to those who you're speaking now and let them know what's happening.
Yeah.
You know, because the point of our job is to be transparent. So we have to be as transparent as possible. And by doing so, you'll have a much easier time in conversation. So here's a quick thing.
Yeah.
Now, I'll digress this way. So, you know, when you start making phone calls, you're pretty much nervous at the beginning, right? You're making so many little phone calls, you're pretty much nervous. But once you make that 1,000th phone call or that 500th phone call, it's a natural thing for you.
The flow.
Right? It's a boom, gotcha, Falcon, boom, boom. Yeah. So when you think of it that way, it's starting now, it's 2 months from now, 3 months from now. If you have this conversation, by the time July hits, that conversation is already natural to you. That conversation of, look, I'm here, I'm your buyer's agent, you know, I'm ready to work for you, I'm ready to make this happen for you, and so on and so forth. And for those who are afraid of the commission portion of it, at the end of the day, yes, I did hear that, you know, the seller side can still pay, you know, commission. You just have to ask them, you know, see if they're willing to pay, so on and so forth. Yeah. But why wait? Be that buyer agent. Be that person who can find that home for that person. Be the Superman, Superwoman out there and be that agent that can, you know, find the type of home that the person is looking for instead of just saying, you know what, I'm just going to point at this one and say, this is the right one for them. It's going to work.
Or the agents that say, you know what, you if you find anything you like, send it to me.
Right. Oh, I love those.
So it's like, where's the value there? Right? What's the real point? And I know that's only the beginning of finding it, and the work really begins after you find the contract, appraisals, everything else, what have you. But do you see, I've been hearing people may get stages or different pricing for buyer's agent. Maybe you say, hey, you know what? Yeah, you do find that house, and you know, and I'll do the negotiations for you, and therefore, so maybe pay me a flat fee or a scaling price because it's not, you know, because really you could find, a lot of people could find stuff on their own, right? Or maybe see something they really like, or you know what, my neighbor's selling stuff, but now I don't know what's the next steps of the process, and I want to make sure I don't get it right. Do you even see that even being possible, or good idea, crappy idea? Stay away from that.
I think you're really disservicing your clients that way. If you do it that way, you're pretty much saying, look, either you get the platinum service or you get the bronze service or the iron service, you know, like the one that's below bronze, whatever you call it. It's, you know, a service is a service, no matter how you see it. Whether you're going to take away something from them, why do that? At the end of the day, they're doing three things. You know, they're searching for their place. They're providing the proof of funds. They're saying yes to it. And then at the end, they're bringing the money in. So, you know, providing the service, it's not hard to provide service to folks. And if you keep it unique, if you keep it authentic, if you keep it transparent, at the end, you know, you're working hard for your money. So I'm not a fan of it, but I mean, if I do see it, I mean, it happens.
You know, it's out there, right? You know, in an industry, the beauty of it is like everybody will, you know, customize it a different way that works for them and their group. Like back in the days when we had the 2% listing stuff and all this other stuff was coming out, you know, all these different things that the flat fee agencies out there that do listings for flat fees, you know, stuff like that. There's a place for everything because everybody has, you know, the same out here. But, you know, I think, you know, giving that value and showing that value proposition is where you're going to really, you know.
Of course. And that's a perfect example you said there. I mean, flat fee, all of a sudden, you don't get the professional photos. You get the iPhones. Yeah. You know, you just get the minimal stuff in there. Yeah. Can you imagine as a buyer's agent if it's the bronze level? Sure, no problem. I'll tell you where to go.
It's like, really, you get what you pay for, right? It's like, you know what, you know? And, you know, I think, you know, with the past, buyer's agency was always there but never really enforced or in place. But there was always the, oh, what if they don't have enough to pay me, right? What if they can't pay me? So where do you see that happening? Because I know that's happened many times to people I've spoken to, and having getting to the closing table, getting clear to close and being short of funds, and where they're going to look first is the person getting the biggest pot, right? It's usually the
right.
That's the mortgage person, and, you know, digress to the lawyer. The lawyer's always the last person, because they're sitting there saying, hey, you know what? Let's get these fees down, right?
They're the scariest ones, because they're the ones you want them to have everything signed, right? And let's go.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's hard. Honestly, it's to that point. I feel that you should really qualify your buyers first, honestly, to that point. Do not put them in a position that, you know, they're not going to have the money for it. If they can afford, if you're working well with the lender, make sure that they're not at the highest DTI out there, so that they don't have enough money for it. Make sure that they have enough, you know, funds to support whatever may happen, whatever miscellaneous situation. Because, yeah, there are things that even when title comes around, you won't find because you're too busy searching. You know, those aren't the steps that we are looking for in the beginning. Yeah. We're looking for what can work for them. So I'm an advocate to the idea of make sure you qualify them first, 1,000%, and that they have enough funds to support themselves. And, look, one thing's for sure. One thing I heard is that is it a good time to buy? I keep hearing it. I think it's a good time to buy, right? But at the same time, one of the quickest answers I get to folks is, as long as you have the means to buy it, you can definitely buy it.
Yeah. They say, you know, the best time to buy real estate was yesterday. The next best time is today, right?
Absolutely.
Do you see yourself, you did coaching as a, you know, retail and all that stuff, and in real estate. How do you coach your agents? Do you role play with them? Do you get them, you know, let them listen in?
Yeah.
How are you getting them prepped?
Absolutely. So right now, you know, conversations of presentations is obviously one of the top coachings, you know, type of role plays in there, besides, you know, the other things that we have scripting wise. It takes about a half hour just to go back and forth, hear some of the tonalities, hear the speed, here's the information that they're providing, making sure that they are addressing, you know, any objections that are out there. So any of the new agents that I work with, those are a few things I do, you know, with them, to do some real role plays there. But as I say to them, it's like we can practice on a role play, but honestly, once you get on phones, that's really a great way to know your objections and know what you have to say to them.
I agree. I think we could watch basketball all day, but unless we're out there taking practice shots, we'll never get better, right?
Absolutely. So, you know, I'm an advocate to sports, and, you know, you could practice, as you just mentioned, right? And, you know, that's exactly how I was when I was playing football. I just kept practicing until I got to the level I needed to get to, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess we'll see how it rolls out and what comes of it, but I do appreciate you and your time. Hopefully you'll be back up here again, so we can talk about property conditions and all that stuff.
That's a scary one.
Tell me about it. But I appreciate Israel, you and your time, Mr. Martinez.
Thank you, man. I appreciate everybody.
Guys, have a good one. Thank you for watching Wealth Builders Podcast. Have a good one, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Wealth Builders Blueprint Podcast. If you enjoyed it, please hit follow or subscribe so you can stay up to date on new episodes.